concerned. So, yeah, could have a factor on the game, I think.
There's been some interesting developments in terms of promoting the playoffs within the NFL and the World Rugby League. It's been called the Rugby League of the Extraordinary. Now, everybody who knows and loves Rugby League will have seen the promotional video that's been put together by the magicians within the media world, and they've chosen 8 players from the playoff clubs and given them all nicknames. Ben Westwood is called the Warriors and Wrecking Ball. James Roby is the Saints, having his Dynamo. Sam Tompkins has been named the Wigan Whirlwind. El Crabtree, the Hulk of Huddersfield. Ryan Hall, the Tornado of Leeds. Tom Briscoe, the Rocket of Hull. Flint Smith has been called the Wakefield Wizard. And Leon Price, finally, is going to be known as the Comet. Some nice names there.
Yeah, I think all the names fit pretty well, really. Especially Benny Westwood's, the human wrecking ball. I think it's a good concept, and both need a little. The more the game, I think it's something we need, you know, something a little bit different. And, you know, looking at the advert that's been put over the internet over the last couple of weeks, you know, it's pretty good. And
I think along them lines, pretty similar for us three in terms of the podcast. I mean, Dave Parkinson, I can't be fair. A couple of nicknames for us. Dave Parkinson's going to be called the Lightning Friendly. And myself, Agent Jackson, the Thunder of Witness of You, buddy, is the Warrior from Warrington.
Well, yeah, being a Wigan lad, so you could call me a Warrior. but, yeah, I think a good one for Dave, though, would be the Lobby Gobbler from Lane. I think it'd be a good name for Dave. So, yeah, you can ask him, does he prefer that one or the Lightning? Me and Mickey Ann were thinking of doing a spoof version of it, so people keep their eyes out for that one.
Just looking at the nicknames, it's been part and parcel of the World Rugby League since I was a kid. Which is the best way you've ever come across?
I think Mountain of Fire, you know, Chariots of Fire. You know, with a lad and watching them when I was younger. Yeah, I think Chariots of Fire was another one. One of my favourite players when I was younger was Inga Trigamala and Inga the Winger. So that was another good nickname. So yeah, there's been quite a few out there. But yeah, I think them two were pretty good names.
I was a member of Ford from Austria. I can't remember his first name, so I do apologise, but his surname was Gilmeister, and they called him the Axe.
Well, that's what they call Libre, isn't it? That's his nickname within the club, because since Tony Smith's come in, he's really picked his defence up and he's put a few shots on him. Well, at least as he's retired more people than Social Security, he says now, so, but yeah, that's Libre's his nickname.
Speaking of Libre, he's had his new airport, he's been growing a bit of a moped. The charity, and after the game against Hull FC, he was at the hands of Steve-O to have his haircut, and this is what Lee said about why he got his haircut and why he got around the idea of doing it.
Well, first off, it was just a mental thing, see how far I could grow it. Obviously, I could have it short, so probably put myself through to even, you know, test myself a bit. But then I got the opportunity to make some money on the back of it for charities, you know, so I thought, yeah, that's the way to go.
With the charities involved?
Reverse Right and Johnny Jack.
How much money you've raised on that?
Probably close to £2,000, which is fantastic.
So fans can still donate to the cause?
Yeah, they can donate to just giving Jack, Beth and Jack.
You're going to miss her now, is that?
No, not at all. I can grow it again.
Have you been to be on the show at the hands of Steve-O?
Yeah, he was quality, right? He's a great bloke. Yeah, I've known Steve-O for a long time, and people don't see this side of him. They only see him at comments, and Steve-O's a great bloke.
The job is to do a good professional job, maybe have a career in just rather than commentating.
I've not looked at it yet, so we'll pass through and look from later on.
So, for a great cause, and I'm sure fans will be impressed with the new Lee Breers.
Cool, thank you.
So, Lee Breers doing his bit for charity, and would you like to be at the hands of Steve-O?
No, not really. Not after looking at Steve-O's record, no. Bit of a shock, as well. But it just all for a good cause, and, you know, again, it's great that, you know, Lee's using, you know, that. That he's got, you know, as a great player and within the game, character of the game, and he's raising money for he did it for 2 charities, which is fantastic. So, yeah, I think, you know, he's done a great job, clearly.
You think Steve-O's done a good job in his new record?
No, definitely not. There's patches everywhere in it, but, yeah, I thought that when he'd come in the day after with it shared, I thought I'd have seen him the day after that, and it would have been tidied up, but he just left it, so. Was it a good haircut and a bad haircut? It's 2 weeks, he says, so he's got another week left to have it like that.
Yeah, it's gone, but so be honest, did he get any stick much of you guys when he was growing up?
Yeah, he took a lot of stick with him especially off. It always looked a lot worse when he was on Sky TV for some reason. He looked after himself after training. He used to have a shower and then that. But a bit of brill cream on it didn't look too bad.
A brill cream, that's a flashback to the 70s, I think.
Yeah, it's I think David Beckham brought it back in, didn't he? I think he started publicising it three or four years ago, and come back in fashion by it.
That's stuff off the field regarding Lee Bates and his new haircut. I'm sure fans would have seen it during his time back on the field in the playoffs. But before we hit the playoffs and talk about it, there's one round of Super League action to be done and dusted to settle the outcome of the Mud and Spirit and the final place in the playoffs. And here's Dave Parkinson with those details.
The final weekend of the regular Super League season saw things decided both at the top and bottom of the table, with Wigan Warriors claiming the Super League leaders' shield despite going down to a 26-18 defeat against arch rivals St Helens. 21,500 people packed into the DW Stadium to see Wigan score three tries through Luloy, Richards and Tompkins, three conversions from Pat Richards, but it was St Helens who had the bit between the teeth and came out with the win in the end with tries from Roby, Meekinson, Dixon, Jones and Lomax. Tommy Makinson kicking three goals. Action switched over to Saturday and Salford had a bit of controversy because they had to switch their game from the City of Salford Stadium out to Lee Sports Village. They hosted Wakefield Trinity Wildcats, with the Wildcats hopeful of getting a top 8 position, and in the end, after building a 24 points to 12 half time advantage, Wakefield managed it. Salford had tries through Williams, Gleeson, Anderson, Gibson with two, and Ashurst with Holdsworth kicking five goals. Wakefield, in comparison, they scored tries themselves through Mariano, Raleigh, Collis, Johnson, Kikane, Fox and Smith, with Sykes, the man of the moment with the boot, striking seven conversions to confirm victory. Also on the Saturday, Hull FC brought an end to their league campaign with a fairly routine 36-10 victory over Castleford. The highlight there being Jamie Foster's continued goal-kicking form. He kicked 6 from 6 as Manu, Briscoe, Horn, Horton, O'Malley and Green scored tries. Castleford brought the curtain down on a highly disappointing season. They claimed just the two tries through Thompson and Holmes, with Danny Orr on his final professional game kicking one goal. In the south of France, Catalan Dragons hosted Bradford, and for a time it looked like Bradford could end up upsetting the apple cart and claiming the last top 8 position, especially at half time when it favoured Catalan just 22 points to 20. It was a tale of a hat trick there for Clint Greenshields, two of his tries coming in the second half, other tries for the Catalan Dragons being scored by Depot, Sa, Anderson, Menzies, Millard and Giroux, with Giroux kicking 7 goals. Bradford responded with a 4-try effort from Jared Sammet, and Platt scoring the other try, with Luke Gale kicking 3 goals, but in the end they were outclassed in the final 20 minutes. Castleman ran out a 50 points to 26 victory. Points aplenty also in London, where the London Broncos eventually trumped Hull Kings and Rovers 48 points to 42. I think somebody left the tackle bags at home. Robertson scored a couple of tries for London, and that was the real highlight, along with a couple for Dixon. Caro, Bailey, Krasniki and Dawn also scoring tries, with Craig Gower continuing his great late season surge with the boot. Hull Kingston Rovers, they had tries themselves from Payer, Beaumont, Peterson, Ellie, Mika, who scored 2, Galea and Dobson. Galea's try being the last try that he will score in the red and white of Hull Kingston Rovers before making a controversial cross-city move to Hull next season. Dobson kicked 4 goals, Hull kicked 1, but it wasn't to be. The last two games to tell you about in the regular Super League season took place on Sunday the 9th of September. Huddersfield Giants coming up with a thumping victory against Leeds Rhinos, 48 points to 24. Where has this form been for the last couple of months, though? I guess that's what every Huddersfield fan will have been asking. Leroy Cudjoe claiming a couple of tries, Luke Robinson also scoring a couple, with Danny Brough, the man in the middle and on form. Leeds, they saw tries themselves through Kynehorst, Hall, Watkins, Ablett and Peacock. Sinfield only able to convert 2. Although Widnes Vikings have made great strides They were no match at home to Warrington Wolves. They trailed 22-6 at half-time, although they did score the first try of the game through Frank Winterstein. Second-half tries from McShay and Hanbury brought them into double figures, with Hanbury kicking one goal. But at the other end, they hemorrhaged tries at regular intervals. Higham scoring a couple, Williams grabbing one, Riley chipping in with two. Ratchford, Solomona, Hill, Atkins and Wood scoring the other tries, with the conversion split between Lee Breers, who kicked five goals, and Solomona, who kicked a goal on his last league appearance for the Wolves. So what did all that do to the final league table? Well, it meant that the top eight was Wigan, Warrington, St Helens, Catalan Dragons, Leeds Rhinos, Hull FC, Huddersfield and Wakefield Trinity Wildcats, while the bottom of the pile was Widnes Vikings on point difference, cast adrift from Castleford Tigers.
As round 27 done and dusted, Paul, you ended the season with a victory.
The Widnes game, it was a good local derby. I always looked forward to the local derbies. It was pretty one-sided, which is a good thing for the Warrington fans, and I'm sure that people, they do prefer the local derbies to be a little bit closer, but we managed to rack 50-odd points up against Widnes, and managed to get over for the first try of the season, so no naked run, so I don't have to embarrass myself on it.
I could say, you, during the last month since you last spoke, you made your 50th appearance and being a try scorer as well.
Yeah, you told me about that, 300 appearances. I think it's four international appearances, and it was 296 appearances for Warrington, so I've not quite reached the 300 mark for Warrington yet, which will be a good achievement. I think the grand final this week will be my 299th game, so just one short of a 300, but yeah, it's a massive achievement and something I'm proud of.
Sammy Floyd describes that defeat at the hands of Warrington Wolves, and that they were going to be condemned to picking up the wooden screen. Now they were hoping to finish off the bottom, but they can take plenty of heart from that, can't they?
Yeah, I don't think they should be too disappointed. No one wants to finish bottom, but I think in these situations you've got to take the positives out of it.
In the race for the final place for the top eight, it was a shootout between Bradford Bulls and Wakefield Trinity Wildcats.
Wakefield, I think, have done really well this year. There was a form team back end of the season. A slow start for them, and they could have been a lot higher in the table, but yeah, it's a massive achievement for Wakefield, and I watched them in the playoff games against Leeds, and I was really, really impressed with how they defended, and yeah, I think they've done really well this year. Richie Agar has been a tough coach, so yeah, it's been a great achievement for them.
When we talk about the first round of the playoff, I went over to Old Trafford, and let's hear from all the coaches that were going to be taking part in this year's playoff series. Hopefully, I see flying the flag for East Yorkshire in the playoffs. You're looking forward to what's coming out.
Yeah, look, we're excited about it. We're excited about playing at our home ground in front of our home fans. It's something we set as a goal earlier in the season, and we've accomplished it, and we're very satisfied with it.
If you've accomplished the goal that you've set up, now the challenge does really start.
It does. It's a whole new ball game now, isn't it? The standard of footy on the other level. It's a bit of football from now on for us, and we need to take our game to another level.
Who do you think is going to be the main competitors for Hull?
I think the top two sides, Warrington and Wigan, they've been the most consistent all season. They're probably players the biggest threat, but anyone on the Avon League, they can beat each other. So it's making sure that you turn up in the right frame of mind to put your best game in.
Only a couple of years ago, Hull actually made the grand final. Do you think they could do it and repeat that in 2012?
Yeah, I can't see any reason why we can't. It's how we turn up and how we play. We need to play our best, put our best performance in each week. It probably needs to get better each week.
Paul Anderson, first year as a head coach, and you've made the playoffs. Are you happy to be in the playoffs?
Yeah, obviously with the results and things that have happened to us over the year to cement our place in the playoffs is pleasing, because we get to play a little bit longer.
And as part of the playoffs, it's more like a cup competition more than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's a position that we're in. If we lose, we're out. So we're just gonna keep winning. It's as simple as that.
It's an easy game, but believe when you put it that way.
Yeah, definitely. It's sometimes made complicated by people like me, and simple things work the best, mate, I'm being honest. And performance has done really mean a great deal at the moment, and it's just about grinding results, having given wins.
Realistically, what would be deemed a success for yourself in the playoffs?
What we have to do, mate, we know we have to compete each week. I'm confident that if we can compete, we can give ourselves a chance of winning, because we've got a lot of quality in our team.
which is, you know, Wakefield in the top eight. Might surprise a few people, obviously you won't surprise yourself or the fans at Wakefield that you didn't know.
Well, it probably is a little bit of a surprise, I guess, for all of us from where we started out during the year and perhaps where we were at halfway point during the season. But our form has been, our form has been good for a long time. I think, you know, we've earned our spot. We've earned our spot very much on merit on the way we've performed. For the bulk of the year, first half of the year, so we're competitive, but you know, we're a new team, learning how to win and learning how to play with each other, and I think also we've built up those relationships and learned some lessons along the way. I think we've proved to be a competitive team and we've played some, you know, some good stuff along the way.
You mentioned the fall. Could that mean you could be the surprise package in this playoff this year?
Well, there's some very good teams in it. You know, our first game is again a team that's won five grand finals and been a three recent Challenge Cup finals, so that shows me that there's probably no better team over this generation in winning these type of games. So while our form has been very, very good coming in, and we have got hardened to winning games and winning close games, we also know we're playing a team that's probably had a lot more experience of it than us, and packed full of world-class players. So we know the size of the challenge, but we can just go in and play our best football, play with no pressure, and don't die wondering, if you like.
Last year, Leeds had to do it from outside the top five in the playoffs. You're having to do it again. Are you looking forward to the challenge?
Yeah, it certainly will be a challenge. We're keen for it and excited by it, but then we're also very realistic. It's going to be a big ask. We've got to face some good teams, and should we get past Wakefield on Saturday night, we'll have to improve again and improve again. You know, the further we progress in the playoffs, the better we'll have to be.
Leeds hold on to the title, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so, we can. But again, it's a big challenge. It's not something you can say, yeah, of course we can. It's a big ask. And you know, if we can fast forward in a few weeks' time and look at a team that's won the grand final, that team that has won the grand final will have to have played well every single week, you know, for at least 3 or 4 weeks. So, I can't underestimate just how big a challenge it is.
Big question on everybody's lips. Can the Challenge Cup holders go all the way? With the grand final trophy as well.
Who knows, that's only time will tell on that account. It's all about, you know, each and every week in the finals, and if you do a good job, you give yourself a chance to survive the following week. It's something that there's eight clubs in this room who all want to do that. They get to Old Trafford and win it, and it just depends on who handles it the best and who handles the pressures of it, and only time will tell on that account.
Make sure you're the closest people are together in Salisbury. Do you think it's an eight threats of Warrington?
The other seven. The other seven. That's how it is. Every team that's here is dangerous, and every team is capable, and you know, all of them are capable to come up with their performance on the day.
That's what Sean Wayne, league leaders, done and lost about that.
Thank you very much. I'm really pleased we've got that. We went to Orlando for our pre-season trip, and that was one of the main goals we set out to do, to be consistent with the best team, and we've done that. You know, the credit to the players, they've all dug in, and you know, they've all concentrated and trained and trusted me and the staff on the game plan to come up with. So to win that was fantastic for us.
First season of the head coach in the playoffs, and it's another challenge coming up.
Yeah, the Orlando, won the Premiership, and you know, this is another one. You know, the playoffs, the finals are the main thing now for us to do. So it's exciting time. We've got a great challenge this Friday against Catalan.
We remember a couple of years ago, some of the stuff in the Michael Maguire. You were the assistant, and giving a good experience about what to expect in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it does. You know, we enjoyed it. It was tough. And last year we got knocked out by St. Helens in the semis, which was tough to take. You know, we don't want that feeling again. That feeling with the players, you know, so they never want to feel that again. So that's a real, real challenge for us and a big push for us to make sure that, you know, we perform this weekend. We get a 2 week break, and then we're in the semis. So that is the real motivator for us running to us last year.
Would it mean to you not making any did repeat that success again?
In everything, normal winning ball, I was brought up across the road from the stadium, and you know, there were a lot of wicked people in my team, like Sean Walker and Sam, and you know, from there go quality. And you know, if I could do it with all them, whether it was come through the system with me, you know, it would be even sweeter.
Mike Rush ended the season with a victory. Is that a good preparation for the playoff?
Yeah, it is, yeah, obviously. You want to go into it with a bit of momentum. We've got that now. It was good to get a victory against the team that we'd had no success over earlier on in the year. But it means nothing going into the playoffs here. It's just different competition. We know it's a knockout. And and we'll just have to do our best.
Saints have got a good experience of making it to the grand final. Can you do it in 2012?
We hope so. That's what you're aiming to do. That's the goal that you set your players. But obviously, let's be respectful of the other seven teams that are in the eight. I'm sure Warrington, Wigan, Leeds, everybody else is all Catalan, are all saying the same thing, that they want to get to the final, and you have to be in the final to have a chance of winning it. So we're going to have to win at least two big games, maybe even possibly three, or, you know, to become champions.
For Saints, what do you think the ingredients are going to have to be?
Defensively, we need to keep the consistency that we've had in recent weeks, but I think offensively, we're going to have to make sure that every opportunity that we get, we take. You know, you can't get to playoff football and squander opportunities. They become fewer and fewer between, and therefore you have to take them on the big stage.
They have the seven coaches from the eight clubs that have taken part in this year's playoff series. Unfortunately, Trent Robinson decided to stick in the South of France rather than come over to Manchester. And just looking at the coaches that are involved this year, six of them are English.
Yeah, it's great for the game. You know, the more English coaches we can have in Super League, I think for the better. I mean, classing Tony Smith as English because he's got his English passport, hasn't he? But yeah, no, it's not that. A lot of English coaches are coming through. You know, a lot of them have worked really hard to get where they are, really. And again, you know, it's, the more English coaches we can get, the better. And, you know, the more English talent we can get through, you know, it's going to stand us in good stead.
As always, within the World Rugby League, they named the Super League Dream Team for 2012. Totally dominated by Wigan Warriors and Warrington, by the way, but there's a third team. In fact, rather than me telling you the names out, here's John Ledger to give you the rundown of this year's dream team.
Can you please welcome to the stage, at fullback from Wigan Warriors, Sam Tompkins. On the right wing from Wigan Warriors, Josh Chandler. Right centre, again from Wigan Warriors, George Carmont. Left centre from Warrington Wolves, Ryan Atkins. And on the left wing from Leeds Rhinos, Ryan Hall. The halfbacks in the Super League Dream Team this year. From Wigan Warriors, Brett Finch at standoff. And missing from Catalan Dragons, Scott Giroux from Catalan Dragons. The forward pack in 2012. From Warrington Wolves, making his debut in the Dream Team, Chris Hill. At hooker, making his fourth appearance in the Dream Team, from St Helens, James Roby. The other absentee from Catalan Dragons is our prop, Remy Casty, debuted in 2012. In second row, from Warrington Wolves, making his fourth appearance in the Dream Team, Benny Westwood. Alongside Benny in second row, from Wigan Warriors, Gareth Hock. And completing the lineup for 2012, from Wigan Warriors, making his third appearance in the Dream Team, Sean O'Loughlin. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you this 2012
Stobart Super
League Dream Team.
We have John Ledger giving out the names today. Chosen 13 to be in this year's Dream Team. And for your club, Paul, there's been a season from Ryan Atkins, Chris Hill and Ben Westwood. Well deserved.
Yeah, definitely. They've all had great seasons. And I think they fully deserve to be in there. You know, Chris Hill's had an outstanding season coming from the Championship straight up to Super League level. He's a credit to himself, really. You know, he's really fit. He's, you know, for a Championship player, you know, we play against some Championship teams in the Challenge Cup, and obviously the main difference that we see is fitness levels, but Chris is really fit. He worked as a personal trainer before he came, so fitness-wise, he's pretty clued up, and he did a lot of extra training on himself, and for a big lad, he's got a good engine. So, yeah, I think Chris is done really well now, and mine and Ben, you know, been doing what they've been doing for the last few years for Warrington. You know, Ryan's been setting tries up, adapted his game a little bit, and putting his winger in for more tries now, and scoring them himself. And Ben is, as we said, the human wrecking ball. He's got three defences and scores tries.
Six of that 30 were making the debut in the Dream Team. Josh Charlie from Wigan, Ryan Atkins from Warrington, Brett Finch from Wigan, Chris Hill. Remy Casting, Gareth Hawke. Welcome return back to the World Rugby League for Gareth Hawke.
Yeah, Gareth is a quality player, and we all know how devastating he can be. Big, strong and mobile forward, the players are wide, and, you know, a great offloading game on him. I think he's played really well this year. I think he's been a big major cog in the Wigan ranks, and I think he's one of the reasons that they're at the top of the table. I think he's got that. You know, the progression, and you know, he runs hard, and he looks like he's matured a lot as a player as well over the last couple of seasons. So I think it's well deserved for Gaza, and I know he's worked really hard to get there as well.
George Carmont was in there as well. He's had a great season. He's decided to retire, but despite everyone saying, go on, change your mind, he ain't going to do it. He's sticking to his guns, he's going to throw the bit away.
It's a strange one, really, because Elliott has been a really good player for Wigan this season, and it's not often that players, you know, he's played really well for Wigan, and normally when people say they're going to retire and they finish on a strong season, they go out one more time, but he doesn't seem to want to do that, and unless he's got something in the pipeline away from rugby, then no good luck to him.
One player that's been in the dream team for the last four seasons now is Sam Tompkins, 2009, 2010, 2011. He's in there again this year. Let's hear from him about how he feels about being in this year's dream team. So, Sam Tompkins, congratulations on being named in the dream team.
Thank you. I'm excited about it. It's one of those things that you've got to really think about all year, and you get to all a couple of days before you're in. But you know, it's great just to be on stage there with some of the best players in our league.
Surely you take a picture of the dream team fans and coaches, be trying to work out how to get all them in amongst under the salary cap.
Yeah, I think there's probably some decent wages on the stage there, but you know, I think that it was good. We got six players in this year at Wigan, but I think there's a number of players across the league in all teams that have been very close to getting that.
You do get named, do you see that as a great achievement?
Yeah, it's nice being recognised for what you do. Obviously, it's the same as in any job. But yeah, I think you know, although there's a lot of players who aren't quite in this, I think they play a massive part to the players who get chosen. I think you know, like for example, us at Wigan, there's sort of 32 players played in the first team this year. Six of us get picked first, we wouldn't have been able to without the other 26. So I think it's another one of them where you've got to sort of give credit to your teammates for getting you in it.
So probably you go back to Wigan, you get them all the points.
Yeah, I'll get them all one. I think I'll let Finch, he's got most in it.
Now for yourself, now that fullback, so you get the impression you've really got used to playing fullback.
Yeah, I've been there, you know, the last couple of years I've played fullback, I've not played a game at standoff for the last two seasons, so I certainly see myself as a fullback and I'm enjoying that role.
You just go back to standoff if you're asked to.
Yeah, I play wherever. You know, jumping in standoff every now and then in training just to keep my skills on that. But, you know, we're lucky we've got great standoff in Brett Finch, he's doing an exceptional job. And I'm sure at some point in the future there'll be a point where I've got to play a standoff, but I'll be ready for that.
Great player, how difficult is he to play against?
Yeah, he's an exceptional talent. You know, he's one of them players that I think deep down a lot of fans know that he is a class act, and a lot of fans away from Wigan, you know, they don't like him for some peculiar reason. He's got that cockiness about him. Well, he can get on some fans' nerves. I know even when he's playing for England, he got booed by his own fans, and so that shows some of the passion that some of the fans have got for him. But it's only because he's good at what he does. You know, you can't deny that he's a good player, and you know, by all accounts, he's a really nice lad and a really top bloke as well. And he seems to be doing a lot for charity. You know, the old Join Jack, which is, you know, really, really good for him.
And he's obviously now got a celebrity friend in the shape of Bradley Wiggins. Have you got a celebrity friend that we don't know about?
Mickey Iron's my friend. He's as good as it gets.
I haven't got any celebrity friends. Well, besides yourself, there you go. That's my celebrity friend. There you go. That's done and dusted with the Dream Team and the Super League weekly rounds. It's all about the playoffs and the race for Old Trafford. And in week one, for the bottom half of the top eight, it was all about the elimination. For the top half of the top eight, it was all about earning the week off. Here's David Parkinson with the details of what happened in week one of the playoffs.
The Super League playoff system is invariably a complicated beast, but let me guide you through the first weekend of it. That took place on the weekend between the 14th and 16th of September, and it all opened up on the Friday night where Wigan Warriors had a routine 46-6 win over Catalan Dragons. The highlight there being a hat-trick for retiring George Carmont. Lulai, Goulding, Farrell, Tompkins and Charnley also chipping in with tries, with Richards converting, with Richards adding 7 goals to the tally. All the Catalan Dragons could muster was a try from Anderson converted by Scott Jerome, but a very disappointing 46-6 defeat for them. Action switched to Saturday, and to the Halliwell Jones Stadium, where Warrington hosted St Helens in the other qualifying playoff. And after it being a nip and tuck first half, with Hodgson opening the scoring for Warrington, replies to that coming from Soliola and Tommy Makinson for St Helens. 12-6 at the break to the visitors. It was anybody's game. But St Helens, they came out, really did a number on Warrington in that second half. Makinson grabbing his second try. Robert and Melly claiming the others, with Makinson also being jolly on the spot with four goals. The second half of the Super League playoff draw saw elimination playoffs. So the losers, there was no second chances. It pitted Leeds up against Wakefield, and Wakefield had been the form team in Super League, winning their last seven games. And this was a real humdinger of a contest over at Headingley Stadium. 12-10 at half time. A couple of tries from Robbie Birrow in the first half helped Leeds to that narrow advantage. In response, Wakefield had tries themselves from Kikane and Smith. In the second half, they got away to the best of starts, did Wakefield, when former Leeds player Richie Mathers went over after 41 minutes. But cue the Leeds revival. Bishop going over after 48 minutes, the first of a hat-trick he was eventually to score, with the real turning points being tries either side of the hour mark by Danny Maguire and Zach Hardacre. And all that Wakefield could muster in response during this period of time was a try from another former Leeds favourite, Ali Lewititi. Jones Bishop completed his hat-trick with two tries in the final 9 minutes. Kevin Sinfield was the man really on form with the boot. 7 goals from 7 attempts. In response, Sykes could only land 2 of the 4 attempts for Wakefield, and their season ended with a 42-20 defeat over at the home of the Leeds Rhinos. The second elimination playoff semi-final pitted Huddersfield, who have limped along in the closing stages of the season, against Hull over at the KC Stadium. And to be honest, again, there was hardly anything between these sides in the first half. 12-0 it was. Couple of tries from Briscoe being the difference, both of which were converted by Foster. 12-0 at the break, and this was a real scrappy half of rugby, and I was starting to wonder just when the sides would wake up. Well, certainly in the second half, Hull came out, the attack with real vim and vigour. Foster grabbing two tries, Watts, Hurremeyer, Lynch and Horn completing the route for them, and all that Huddersfield could respond with was 2 tries in 3 minutes, which literally came in the last 15 minutes of the game. Crabtree and Griggs going over. Griggs converted one of those efforts. At the end of the day, though, it was Hull who marched on to the elimination playoffs the following week with a 46-10 victory.
First week of the playoffs done and dusted, and for yourself, Paul, it was unfortunate you lost that to St Helens.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that we got beat, but the good thing is we got the other chance, and it's a funny playoff system, really, you know, to get a second chance. You know, it was gutted that we lost against Saints, and we was expecting to, you know, win that game and get the week off, but, you know, it wasn't to be, and went back and, you know, looked at their game and patched things up.
We were worried they finished top and they got the job done to earn themselves the week off.
Well, I thought Wigan played particularly well. Typical Wigan, really, you know, scored some nice tries. Sam Tompkins picked that injury up late on in the game, which was a big loss for them, you know, in the later rounds.
In the bottom half, it was all about elimination, and sadly, Mad Monday was looming for both Wakefield and Huddersfield Giants. For the Giants, a disappointing end to what looked like a promising season.
Yeah, they started well, and they, you know, they was at the top of the league for the majority of the start. You know, a big transition come in where Nathan Brown had to leave, and Paul Anderson took over, and Paul Anderson sort of stamped his mark straight away and dropped a lot of players, and give a new captain to Danny Bluff, and sort of disrupt the season, really, and didn't really finish on a high. I think Paul Anderson, you know, just wanted to set straight away, you know, I'm in charge, and, you know, this is how it's going to be, and I think he more or less told some of the players that they weren't going to be taking part in the 2013 season, so they never played, and he brought a few youngsters in and made some changes, which is never a good thing, but again, you know, look at the bigger picture, and for next season, then it could put him in good stead.
What's been said about the intensity of the games in week one of the playoffs, saying not really up to the mark of a regular Super League game, but that game between Leeds and Wakefield had a real cup final feel about it.
Yeah, that was the game of the event for me. I thought Wakefield did really well, and I enjoyed watching it, and I fixated it to the stream, because I do struggle sometimes watching full games, and, you know, I can switch off, but I watched Lancashire for 80 minutes, and it was a really good game. And, you know, I thought Wakefield defended really well on the home line, and they had a lot of desperation about them, but in the end, Leeds just managed to come out on top.
It was a weekend off for both teams, and if it wasn't for yourselves, or Leeds Reynolds, or Hull FC, or Castellan Dragons, it was Castellan versus Leeds, Warrington versus Hull FC for the chance to be 80 minutes away from Old Trafford. Here's Dave Parkinson with the details.
On the 21st and 22nd of September came the preliminary semi-finals. Now, these were to decide who was going to go through to the actual semi-finals the following week. It pitted Warrington against Hull. But first of all, let's have a chat about the Catalan Dragons. They faced off against Leeds Rhinos over in Perpignan. This was a fantastic game. Leeds just edged it at the break. They led by 12 points to 10. And yes, you will notice that was the same half-time score that they actually had against Wakefield in the previous round. Tries came from Stevie Ward and Sean Lunt just before half-time, both of which were converted by Kevin Sinfield. That was after a brilliant opening for Catalan Dragons. Green Shields going over after just 8 minutes. Blanche scoring the first of an eventual two tries for him in the last minute of the first half, which dragged Catalan back into the contest. Giroux converted in the 40th minute to make it that 12-10 scoreline. The second half was an absolute thriller. Ablett went over just after the hour mark, and then there was a breakaway try virtually from the kickoff, with Maguire finishing it off down the middle. In response, Catalan came up with a couple more tries. Blanche grabbing his second, Boss completing a fine try under the post. But Leeds gradually edged away. They struck a penalty 7 minutes from the end, and then Danny Maguire popped up with a drop goal to make it a 7-point advantage in favour of Leeds, and it was just too much for the brave Catalan Dragons to get over. So the Dragon season ended with a 27-20 home defeat, and meant that Trent Robinson headed off to his new job at the Sydney Roosters without getting through to the grand final. The second preliminary semi-final took place over at the Halliwell Jones Stadium, where a week before Warrington had lost to St Helens, but they had the bit between the teeth right from the get-go against Hull. They scored just two tries in the opening half of rugby. Waterhouse and Myler scoring in what was largely a game where they had to curb their ambitions somewhat. We have seen Warrington really throw the ball about over the course of the season and really entertain the crowd, but they had to roll the sleeves up and get some very hard work done indeed. Ratchford and Hodgson scored second half tries to open up a 24 points to nil advantage before there was a late flurry of points from Hull. Hodgson kicked four goals to claim 12 of the Warrington's 24 points. The late flurry from Hull came with tries through Briscoe and Crooks, Foster kicking two goals, but it wasn't enough. But Warrington marched on to claim a spot against nemesis side St Helens.
That's week two of the playoffs done and dusted for Leeds Rhinos. Great effort against the Catalan Dragons, but the Dragons just weren't good enough on the day to beat them.
I thought it was a very even match, really. I thought a couple of refereeing decisions deep for Catalan's way, and that made a bit of a difference. You know, but Leeds again, you know, they've got that quality in the playoffs. They always seem to peak for this time of the year, and full credit to them, they dug deep, and, you know, they scored some nice tries as well. I think the breaking point was probably when Ryan Bailey got the ball off the kickoff and made the breaker almost all the way up the field, and Danny Maguire scored that try. That was the breaking point, really. There's no coming back for Catalans then. You get that, and you've just got to deal with it. So, yeah, I'm looking to Catalans, but, you know, credit to Leeds.
The Dragons have always been renowned for bringing their own players with the academy ranks, and then the new latest youngster on the block is Stevie Ward. Just how good of a player is he?
Yeah, he's a great player. He's very deceptive as well, because you look at him and he doesn't look like there's much to him, but he's very strong for his size, and, you know, he's got great handling skills with the ball, and he can defend. He can put a shot on the defence as well, and as I say, some people might see him on TV and in personal think, well, there's not much to him, but that's very deceptive. Like I say, he's very strong. He's he reminds me a bit of Tom Briscoe, in the sense that, you know, he runs well above his weight. He's very difficult to stop, and I think he's got a great future, and I think working along Kevin Sinfield's going to really, really help him in terms of his kicking game and his ball handling skills.
These fans call Kevin Sinfield Sir Kev. Can we see one of some fans call you Sir Paul?
No, I don't think so. I think that's more breezy, you know. I think he's a fan's favourite, and I think Breezy might be a nice to it at some point, but just what if will do.
Now, you mentioned Tom Briscoe was always difficult to stop, but you managed to stop him in the second round of the playoffs by defeating Colossi.
Yeah, good performance by the lads. We needed it. You know, it was down about losing to Saints, so we needed to really pick our game. Well, we've been disappointed in the playoffs over the last few years, so, you know, we needed a big game, and we showed that again. So I thought we was nervous to start with, but once we got into our stride, then, you know, we picked it up and, you know, scored some nice tries, and all come live with us once we hit our straps.
So 8 becomes 4 in the final stages of the playoffs in week 3. It's going to be Warrington at Lantry Park State on St Helens, and Wigan Warriors are at home to Leeds Rivals for the chance to be at Old Trafford. And here is David Parkinson with all the details of what happened in the final week of the playoffs.
Next came Club Call, and who were Wigan going to pick after beating Castleland Dragons? And the fact that Warrington lost against St Helens, it put the ball firmly in the Wigan court. Was it going to be Warrington who they drive to actually finish second in the league, or were they going to pick Leeds, who finished down in fifth position? It was Leeds that they picked, and a war of words ensued over the banning of Danny Maguire for a high tackle in Leeds' previous game in the south of France, when there was many accusations about whether Wigan were actually running the game. This all proved to be a storm in a teacup, however, and the game certainly lived up to billing. It was a repeat of last season's Challenge Cup final, and blimey, it was hard, it was tough, it was rugged. Both sides really got stuck into the game, with Leeds opening up an 11 points to nil half-time advantage. They scored the first try of the game after 12 minutes when Watkins swooped up a loose pass that came from Wigan, 10 metres from the Leeds try line, and the young centre gathered in and galloped 90 metres down the field to finish under the posts. Sinfield was brilliant in this game, and the way that he's closed the season off has been fantastic. Not only was his goal kicking second to none, but his general field kicking as well just pinned Wigan back for long periods of the game, especially in the first half. Sinfield chipped in with a conversion and then struck two penalties in quick succession after 20 and 23 minutes before a drop goal on the half hour opened up that 11 points to nil advantage, and they played arm's length rugby against Wigan. They kept them away from the try line and meant that they couldn't mount as much pressure as they have been doing in recent games and in recent times. The second half, though, was a slightly different story. Whatever Sean Wayne said to his troops at half time at the trick, Wigan were like men possessed. They set off so quickly, Harrison Hansen scoring after 42 minutes, bursting onto a short pass, and then Pat Richards scored just beyond the hour mark, both of which were converted, and that actually put Wigan in the lead by 12 points to 11. But nerves of steel, Kevin Sinfield, he stepped up 4 minutes from the end with a penalty just to the left-hand side of the post, and in awful conditions, really wet underfoot, the lead skipper kept his accuracy and put the Rhinos into another grand final. They've done it again. They've come to the grand final from fifth spot. We thought it was phenomenal last season. Arguably, it's been even tougher for the Rhinos this term. Will they be able to do it? That's the question on everybody's lips. The second qualifying semi-final came on Saturday 29th of September. This was played over at St Helens Langtree Park, and in the first half, St Helens bossed the game, but it didn't show on the scoreboard. They claimed tries through Tommy Makinson, Melly and Paul Wellens before half-time. In response, Warrington came up with a try from Chris Riley, and then one just before half-time through Simon Griggs, and that came slightly against the run of play. It was only 14-12 at the break, and it was going to be a case of who could get on top in the second half, and it was Warrington who really took control, Monaghan claiming a try after 47 minutes, and then just the other side of the hour, there were three tries in a glorious 6-minute spell for the Wolves. Waterhouse claimed two of them, crashing through some weak defence for the first, and then following up in support for his second, before Riley was put over in the corner. Hodgson converting from all angles, but there was still time and a bit of interest left in the game when Francis Malley went over for his second try after 71 minutes. But sadly, Tommy Makinson couldn't find his kicking boots, and in the end, that was the major difference, along with Warrington scoring their 6 tries, and they ran out with 36 points to 18 victors, to mean that they go to Old Trafford for the first time in a grand final.
Looking at the action that's just been done and dusted, Paul, both games high intensity and have a real feel of what to expect from four Super League clubs going toe to toe for the big prize.
Yeah, it was a great weekend of rugby, really. You know, I think Leeds sort of showed, you know, what playoff football is all about, really, and they kicked Wigan to death, and they played really well in defence. And the two main factors, really, at this stage of the season, you've got to have really, your key is going to be your defence, and your kicking game is going to be really good. And they have done against Wigan, and Leeds were very cool and calm, you know, and it never looked like they were going to panic. So, yeah, it was a good win for Leeds.
It was a titanic battle between Wigan and Leeds Rhinos. Wigan went out, Leeds Rhinos march on to Old Trafford to do it again from outside the top four.
You know, they don't panic, and they've got a lot of generals in the team. Rob Bruce, you know, Danny Maguire on his floor, Kevin Sinfield, Jamie Peacock, a good leader, so they've got quality all over the park.
It was a similar situation at Lansley Park, pretty close-knit up until half-time, but then second half, the Wolves just seemed to up the ante and seemed to deliver it.
Personally, I thought for the first 40 minutes we all battered, really, from Saints. They did a really good job on us, and their game plan were working. You know, they slowed us down in the ruck, and they was quicker than us getting up off the floor, whether they was defending or attacking, and they gave us a really good scare in the first 40. But, you know, we come out, and then we picked our game up, and we needed to ramp up a bit more with the ball and be a bit more aggressive in defence, and we found that, and managed to weather the storm for the first 40 and then come back and put a good performance in.
In both the Championship and Championship One, it was all about which teams were going to fight their way through the playoffs and make it for the big day out at the Halliwell Jones Stadium.
Here's Dave Parkinson with all the details of how those teams got through the playoffs to make their way to the Halliwell Jones Stadium.
Following the rigours of the Championship season, it got down to business on Thursday, September the 6th, when Halifax hosted Keighley. The sixth-place club, Keighley, held Halifax for a long period, really did make them work hard for an eventual victory. Moss, March, Jones and Feather scoring tries for the Keighley side, Lawton kicking 4 goals, and right up until the final minute, Keighley were in with a shot of actually taking this one away from Halifax. Halifax themselves scored tries through Gannon, Azu, Tyra, Barlow and Patterson, Tyra kicking 4 goals, but the main talking point was that 79th minute try from Patterson. It just put Halifax through. Action then switched across to Sunday, when Sheffield Eagles, who usually seem to find form at this stage of the year, took on Batley Bulldogs, and they really did beat them from pillar to post at the Don Valley Stadium. Turner scored a hat-trick of tries, Missy Tarpapa weighed in with 2, as too did Joe Hurst, with Brown on the mark with 7 goals. Batley in response with tries from Campbell and Wormsley, 2 goals from Moore, but they were well out of contention after trailing 24 points to 2 at half time. The qualifying semi final then took place the following Thursday between Featherstone Rovers and Lee, and it was Rovers who came out victorious in the end. But only after Lee had really rocked them to the very foundations, 3 tries in their opening half from Briscoe and 2 from John Pownall, including 1 90-metre sprint. But the Centurions, 14 points to 6 up at the break. All Featherstone had in their locker in that first half was a try from Dominic Maloney. But a dominant second half in which they tipped the balance going over for the first try of it after 49 minutes paved the way to victory for Featherstone. Maloney weighed in with the second try. Hardman also weighed in with a try, with Liam Finn just chipping away and chipping away, with penalty goal after penalty goal, eventually getting Featherstone out to a 32-14 lead. The next elimination game took place on Sunday the 16th of September, when Halifax hosted Sheffield. Now Halifax, they had been fancied heading into this game against Sheffield. They accounted for Sheffield in the league not once but twice during the season. But to be fair, Halifax were never in it. Although they scored 3 tries in the second half through Hanforth, Warrington and Fieldhouse, Sheffield had another one of those fantastic post-season games. with Tyler Papper adding a try, Luton Begay with two tries, Turner with two tries, Yeary two tries, Knowles, Stringer, Brambani, the other try scorers, with Brown once again amongst the goals. It ended up 54 points to 12 in favour of Sheffield. An amazing feat for them. So that lined up Leigh Centurions against Sheffield Eagles for the right to take on Featherstone Rovers in the Championship Grand Final. And boy, what a first half we saw from Sheffield. Michael Knowles opened the score in just a minute in. Stratford scored a second try for the Eagles after 24 minutes, linking with Luton the guy down that right-hand side. And then Luton the guy put in the final pass, which allowed Missy Tallpapper to go over in the 30th minute. Lee's response was fairly limited in the first half, despite plenty of possession. Johnny Pownall reaching over to ground in the left corner after 37 minutes. But Sheffield, they kept the scoreboard ticking with a 39th minute penalty from Brown to open up a 20 points to 4 half time advantage. It all looked like it was going to go far in the way of Sheffield Eagles when Scott Turner went over for a try in the 50th minute. That was following a beautiful kick out to the corner. And at that stage, with the conversion, Sheffield led 26 points to 4. Huge to fight back though for Lee. An almighty fright was given to the Eagles as Thornley, Briley and McGilvery all touched down. And heading into the last minute, Lee had a chance to get level or even snatch the game. But it was Menza Yeary, the Papua New Guinea jukebox, who crossed in the 79th minute for the telling try. Brown chipping in with his sixth goal of the game. Ridyard, he could only kick three. And the Centurions once again saw their hopes dashed by a Sheffield side in playoff rugby. But more importantly, it meant that Sheffield made their way through to the grand final. Now, Championship 1 may have already seen four teams promoted via normal routes in regular season, but we had the top six playoff as well, and the first weekend of that playoff saw Whitehaven take on Rochdale and Workington Town host Oldham. For Whitehaven, they had a fairly straightforward victory. They led 20 points to nil at half time against the brave Rochdale side that scored two tries in the second half through Roper and Stewart, but proved no match in the end. Jesse Joe Parker with two tries, Rudd, Duran, Wiper, Palfrey, Culneen and Rooney, the other try scorers, with goals split between Rudd, Rooney and Beattie. And in the end, 40 points to 12 was a commanding scoreline for Whitehaven. The other playoff game up in Cumbria saw Workington come from 9 points behind to beat Oldham at the final analysis. Coward, Mattinson, Miller, Carter, Fraser and Mossop scoring tries, with Carl Forber kicking five goals. Oldham in response, they had tries from Roden, Thompson, Smith who scored two, and the old stager, that's Paul Noon, with Dallimore crowning an impressive game with four goals. Roden chipping in with a drop goal, but it wasn't quite enough, and the two North West sides slipping out of the playoffs and the very first game. The following weekend, Sunday the 16th of September, saw a qualifying playoff, this to get through to the grand final. Doncaster hosted Barrow, and Barrow triumphed by the narrowest of margins. Now, Barrow had led 16 points to 12 at half-time, two tries from Aaron Lowe in the first half, and Chris Larkin coming up with a try just before the break. Ballard kicking a couple of goals as well. In response, Doncaster saw tries from Kyle Keswick, Hughes, before second-half rally from Walshaw and Sanderson. In response, Barrow came up with a try themselves through Dandy. That conversion from the Dandy try by Ballard was enough just to keep Barrow ahead, as Doncaster could only strike two conversions for the reboot of Lee Waterman. There was a Cumbrian derby to see who would go through to the final eliminator, and that was between Workington and Whitehaven. This was a much delayed game, a weather-affected game. They had to clear the pitch of surface water, and the wet conditions certainly led to a low-scoring affair in the first half. Workington scored one try through Patrick after 32 minutes. There was then three goals from the boot of Carl Forber to open up a 10-2 advantage. That was after Rudd had actually opened the scoring for Whitehaven with a penalty. But second half, there were further tries from Calderwood and Shackley, with Forber once again chipping away, kicking 26 points to 2 victory for Workington over their old enemy. That set up a playoff eliminator on Sunday the 23rd of September when 4 or 5 coach loads of Workington fans made the long trip down from Cumbria to South Yorkshire. They took on Doncaster, and much like the game between Workington and Whitehaven, a bit of a low scorer to be honest. Doncaster scoring a try in the very first minute through Chris Spur. Sanderson following him up after 22 minutes. There was one goal from Hodgson, and Doncaster led 10 points to nil at half time. Despite Workington's best efforts, they were just held short at every opportunity by a very good and very committed Doncaster defence, who then came up with 2 second half tries through Fawcett and Powley, one goal from Hodgson, doubling the advantage and putting Doncaster into the grand final with a 20 points to nil victory. They take on Barrow. Join me next month for a review of the grand finals.
As it is from the Championship playoffs, it's going to be a final between Sheffield Eagles and Feversham Rovers. Feversham, they've really dominated this competition in recent seasons. They're feeling confident of hanging on to the trophy, won't they?
I think full credit goes to Sheffield. You know, I think Mark Aston has done a fantastic job there. He's really turned a fortune around the club. And it was only about 12, 14 years ago since they won the Challenge Cup, and then they went through a lot of trouble, Sheffield, and sort of come back from, you know, from the bottom, and now they're really doing well as a Championship club. So yeah, full credit to them. And you know, Dal Pearl's done a fantastic job with Featherstone. You know, he's got some pretty experience as a coach, and then he sort of drifted away, learned a bit more from other coaches and come back into the game. Fantastic coach. I think he's going to go really well in the game.
Feversham got there by beating Lee in the first round of the playoffs. Sheffield have to go to the Lee Sports Hosts to defeat them to get to the grand final. Let's hear from both winning coaches.
Daryl, your thoughts? It was tough. I think that just sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was a tough game. I thought, you know, Lee came out of the blocks 100 miles an hour and were 10-0 up, and we were giving penalties away at an alarming rate. And yeah, we were rattled a little bit, and we didn't handle that start to the game well at all, and Lee looked right up for it and put us under a load of pressure, but then I just thought we started to apply a fair bit of pressure without being clinical. I thought if we'd have been clinical, we'd have been all right before half time, and then give that away just before half time, which is
a bit of gift wrap really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I thought he did great to finish it, and I had a pop at our boys for not challenging kicks, because you give somebody an easy catch and a free run then, and he's as quick as Pownall, then see you later. So you know, we were pretty honest at half time. We needed to change a few things. I thought we handled the second half really well. I thought we played for most of it pretty smart playoff football. We took our points when we got them. I thought we got some good calls. I thought it was tough on Lee, a couple of them from where I was, but you know, I thought we got some tough ones ourselves early. So you know, it's mix and match, and
you take what you get, don't you?
There you go.
I want you given.
Yeah. Well, you've got to do, haven't you? You don't. You know, it's. I thought we were good in the second half tonight. I thought we were too good for Lee in the second half, and they were a little bit too good for us at parts in the first. But I think Paul Rowley has done a fantastic job. You know, I reckon he should get Coach of the Year this year, and I've won it the last 2 years, so it'll be disappointing for me. But I think he deserves it, so I hope he does.
But a third grand final in 3 years, it just shows where this club's heading, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've finished top and got the grand final last 3 years. We've only won one though, so you know, we've got to win this next grand final. It's massively important for us.
Well, Mark, 12 months ago...
God, it's been that long.
It is, yeah. So, 12 months ago, you made it through to the grand final. You've done the same thing again against the same opposition. It's like deja vu.
God, you know... It's took it out of me tonight. We wasn't expected last year, and we did it. And you know, I can't speak highly enough about the group of people that's in the sheds there, the players. Because you know, again, out of the team outside the top two, we were the first team last year to get to the grand final. And again, we've done it again from the hard way, if you like. And you know, we're proud of that. And I wanted it so much for the players today, because they worked really hard. They were outstanding against Bally, and we took them to the cleaners last week. It was Sunday against Halifax. We took them to the cleaners, and tonight we're always going to be tough because it's 2 games in 4 days at that level. I didn't know how we'd go. I didn't know if we'd handle it. We did, and you know, we were dead. We were dead. We had 16-foot bodies. Joe Hurst off, broken jaw. We only had 16-foot bodies. But it epitomises what this group of people is. They're playing until the final whistle and it's got to try on their death, even though they were dead. So, you know, it's been a tough year. You know, we've had some ups and downs. We got to a semi-final of the Northern Rail Cup, which we talked about at the beginning of the season, about being a bit better than we did last year. We got to a grand final. The only thing we can do better now is get there and win it.
You're going to be up against one of your old teammates there in Darrell. I'm sure he'll have his Featherstone side all wound up, but that shouldn't hold any fear for you because you've already beaten Fev this season, haven't you?
Well, that's right. And they haven't beat us. You know, we beat them and we've drawn with them. And you know, we know on our day, and we've got 10 days or 11 days or whatever it is now to prepare ourselves. And they're going to have a few days downtime, and then we'll build it back up Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday next week. They don't hold no fears for us, because when they've got the attitude, the desire, the commitment, the will, the want that they've got at this moment in time, you can achieve anything. And we talked about dream the dream and live the dream, and we need to do that. We were disappointed like 12 months ago that we played in a grand final. We worked hard to get there, but I thought maybe the grand final last season was in the semi-final beating Lee, and I thought that was short on the pitch. You notice we didn't celebrate today. You notice we were just very kept it within ourselves, because we're not happy with what we did last year, and we don't want to go there again and not perform on a big stage. Big teams playing, we're a big team, and we want to play.
It's going to be an interesting game between both Featherstone and Sheffield Eagles, and also on the day at the Highland Drum Stadium is going to be the Championship 1 grand final as well. That takes place between Barrow Raiders and Doncaster, two famous teams within the world of rugby league.
Two clubs that have got a lot of history, and Doncaster, I remember Doncaster being in the Super League, and you know, they had troubles, and they've really turned their fortunes around. And it's good to see like these clubs that have got a lot of history, you know, even though it's not Super League and it is the division below, but it's good to see that, you know, the playoff system, you know, is generating some success, and teams are getting to finals, and yeah, I think it's a really good structure down there in that division now.
The star name in the Doncaster team is Paul Cook, so it's good to see him get his love back for the World of Rugby League.
Yeah, Cook is a top player, played against him many a times, and you know, he shows a lot of skill with the ball, and you know, he's doing a really good job down in Doncaster, and yeah, I think he could be the game breaker for them.
At the part of the season where players start thinking about a holiday, with Mr. Wood off this year?
I'm not sure, yeah, I've not got nothing booked, so I'm just looking pull out in the Canary Islands or Egypt, so not decided on anything yet, but just like the message decided, I think.
We've got one big weekend to come at the Hollywood Jones Stadium and Old Trafford. We'll be back next month.